My name is Bri.
I'm Kyle, and I'm teaming up with Bri.
Boo, boo, boo! I'm Merc.
You can come, too.
Woo!
Boop! And this is Zero Issues Comic Podcast.
Boo! Whoop, whoop! Ha! I'm a hawk!
After last episode, we did a bit of a bring up because it was a bit of a heavy issue.
Yeah.
Like, well, every once in a while, I gotta delve into that.
What I say, we did talk about an issue.
Yeah. So following up, this is a clip show.
Yeah.
This episode is about what?
We're talking team ups.
Team ups. Right in the bold.
Crossovers. Crazy goofy shit that's happened.
Yep.
Yeah. Either way, yeah, when two characters cross paths or franchises cross paths, whether it's in the same world or others, I mean, you know, again, sometimes it goes to some pretty ridiculous places.
I think every time, I'd like to imagine at least, that every time someone pitches an idea with a team up, they say, wouldn't this be really cool?
Yeah.
Because, you know, what's the alternative? Someone saying, well, I guess we have to tie in with this other product. I want to think of it, hey, what if character A and character B hung out for a bit? Wouldn't that be cool?
And again, that's regardless of how maybe the story turns out, that's coming from a pretty good place.
Yeah, it's a pretty good starting point.
It's a good start. Yeah, exactly.
And I mean, you know, it's sort of what the shared universe is kind of built on, because I mean, every individual superhero comic started as its own independent thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So eventually, you know, that's kind of how that starts, right? Eventually it's like, well, you know, you've published how many issues of this. Let's have...
you're part of a bigger group.
Exactly.
And in a bigger universe and a bigger world. And like, you're going to show that you're interacting with those other characters.
Right.
And that's, you know what, that was, to me, when I was growing up, like late 70s, early 80s and through the 80s, it was like, that was literally the funnest time for that.
Yeah.
It had a different vibe to that, and especially I was kind of researching a little bit for this, and looking at some of like Marvel Team Up and 2-in-1, and I totally dug those when I was a kid, and there were even like I was picking it up in the '80s, and the ones that were produced in the '70s, and it was like just had a different feel. Like obviously comics in the '70s just had a totally different feel anyway.
Sure.
It didn't have that. It did have the odd serious tone.
You mean it was newsprint?
Yeah, there was that. I liked those.
What's funny?
Hagar the Horrible meets Andy Cap.
That doesn't sound plausible, but I want to read it.
No, they have a little potato chip thing and then some horrible soda. Yeah.
And then Hagar just chops off his head and says, "Stop talking."
Yeah.
Why are you complaining all the time?
I like gritty voice Hagar the Horrible.
that's Hagar the Horrible's gritty reboot.
Well, he is a goddamn Viking.
Written by Frank Miller.
Yeah, Frank Miller's Hagar the Horrible. Oh,
don't get the dark ideas. Viking returns.
Well, the horrible part at least advertises what's on the
Hagar the Miller Horrible.
I gotta write this stuff down because Merc took the last really good idea.
I don't know what the first, like, if you're looking at superheroes in particular, I don't know. I mean, what would be the first crossover, I wonder? Like, the first team-up? I have to assume. I mean, like, my first thought is something like, you know, maybe like Golden Age DC, maybe?
Well, okay, when I was...
I don't know. Like,
I don't know what would the first one would be.
But I'm very not unprepared for this topic, apparently.
No, that's okay.
When I was researching part of this, like, my three focuses were Marvel Team-Up, mm-hmm. Marvel 2-in-1, and Brave and the Bold.
Sure.
And I didn't realize until I started looking at it that Brave and the Bold had that long of a stretch. It started in 1955 and went till 83.
Holy crooner!
And it was listed as 200 issues. That doesn't seem like 200 issues. That seems like more to me, but yeah. I just haven't done the math, and I don't do math well. So
a lot of comics back then might have been like bi-monthly or something. They had that, that was more often
regular. I went to art school, so I really don't care. So,
well, there you go.
Exactly. And this was the funny thing that I discovered about it. Originally started as an anthology series for adventure stories for Robin Hood, Silent Night, and Viking Prince, Golden Gladiator. So kind of like older adventure stories sort of thing that were set in medieval or beyond times.
So like Defenders of the Earth, exactly. Which was a pretty good team-up cartoon, but we'll get to that in time.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. Or we can get to it right now. Mm-hmm. That was what? Flash Gordon, Mandrake the Magician, and...
I totally have a vague memory of it.
Defenders of the Earth.
Yeah.
Who was it? Flash Gordon, Mandrake, and the Phantom.
Was it the Phantom?
Yeah.
Like Purple Phantom?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
So sort of the pro stars of its age.
The pro stars. Who was the Wayne Gretzky?
Oh, I think we know that was Flash Gordon. Come on, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Brave and the Bold, here's where it gets interesting, is number 25. And this was probably the most interesting thing I found out about this whole thing. Number 25, they decided to try a new concept. So they introduced Suicide Squad in issue 25. Issue 28, they said, oh, let's make another team, Justice League of America. I knew they were introduced in that. That means that Suicide Squad is actually older than Justice League.
Hold on, what?
Yeah.
How is it? So how does a name...
Isn't that interesting?
How does a team whose name has suicide in the name exist before the... I mean, okay, in fairness, the Justice Society existed prior.
I suppose it did. Yeah,
which I guess is really kind of the same concept. It's but at the same time, Justice League as a name came after Suicide Squad. Interesting.
Isn't that? I was like...
What about the Suicide League?
Suicide League of America. It only lasts for an issue.
Yeah. Oh.
That's horrible.
Especially in this day and age.
And then the Assisted Suicide Squad of Canada.
then we get to issue 45. Yeah. Then
Titled Dying with Dignity.
No. This is where it gets bizarre. It's like strange sports stories that cross like sports stories and sci-fi.
Soccer player fought a T-Rex?
Here's an example. This is a name of one of the stories. Challenge of the Headless Baseball Team.
Yes.
Hold on.
What?
Pele versus the T-Rex is a comic I want.
I'll be like Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Yeah.
God, I hope that's actually real.
Cartoon Network. Pele versus the T-Rex is my pitch.
No, I like his. Strange sports stories. The challenge of the headless baseball team.
What was their challenge?
I don't know. Man who drove.
Find your car.
Man who drove through time was another title. I don't.
Is that anyone?
Car driving. I don't know.
Technically, yeah. We're all driving through time.
I just time traveled. 20 minutes ago over
are
there.
Are we all man? Are we all?
It's deep.
Human. Back me up, art school.
Issue 50, they start to team up established characters and buy about...
The headless baseball team meets the man who drove through time.
But eventually we'll get to Green Lantern.
Issue 54 is Robin, Kid Flash, Aqualad.
Aqualad.
That sounded very posh.
Yeah. British Aqualad.
Oh, it's British Aqualad. Which is
how long can he hold his breath?
Stay down, little boy. Well, that's horrible.
Jesus
Christ. Oh, I don't know where I was going with that. But that led to the formation of the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it began. But then by issue 59, it became Batman and whoever else.
Yeah.
And then Batman was affixed.
As these things tend to do, you get to a point where it's like, oh, this character's the most popular.
Yes.
Better make him pretty much lead in this. Yeah.
And in that series was the first time that it was featured with Neil Adams' Batman, which was like the more... Because it was...
Now, was that at a point where Neil Adams was still... He wasn't, you know, Neil Adams that we all about.
This is early Neil Adams. Okay. Because at this time, the reason that they chose to do Batman in Brave and the Bold was because Batman the TV show was so popular and became Batmania and it was all crazy and whatever, and Batman at the time was all kind of hokey-ish and that this still had that early look to it, and Neil Adams being one of the first that brought that more of a graphic realistic look to the character
was the new look
and that's it was in Brave and the Bold that he introduced that. What's his name? Jim Aparo was another one that jumped on. He carried it on quite.
But as far as Batman artists go, you don't really, you know, those are
the, for, those as far are the, as definitive. The, yeah, goes, exactly. Those are the two that then make and break them. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Also, in that, in Brave the Bold was Neil Adams. During his stint, he revamped the costume of Green Arrow. So he went from the old kind of Robin Hoodie look to the modern look that we all know.
The one who, the costume classic. Where a lot of us would, at this point, know it from Brave and the Bold, the cartoon show.
Because
that's the one that they decided to go with.
Yeah.
And where else have you seen that in the last, you know, 40 years?
And speaking of team-ups, when I was making my list of, like, who's, like, the classic team-ups, Green Lantern and Green Arrow were two.
That jumped to mind. That run for sure. Yeah.
They're like the Kermit and Fozzie Bear of DC. Moving down the road. My sidekick's a junkie. Just you wait and see. I got a boxing glove arrow. That part didn't rhyme.
Is there a way to work in Hal Jordan not caring about black people in that song?
It's so heavily political, and it's interesting to see stuff like that, and then look at our stuff now, that like we're more like story based, and here's this story arc, but it's not heavily political at all. Like the stuff that Neil Adams was doing, and I totally forget. I have no idea who the writer was at that point. Anybody else know?
I want to say Denny.
Danny O'Neill. Yeah. You're totally right.
Of course.
I did it. I contributed someone's name.
Woo! And those two were those teamed on a number of things.
Yeah, absolutely. But like the hardcore political edge and socio-political edge that they had hasn't. I've rarely seen that done in comics and modern comics at all.
Especially the big two.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean it. I think it's one of those things where it's that point in time where it's like those characters had enough history and also enough, but not so much where they just weighed it down.
They weren't
like sanitized, you know, sort of like corporate friendly versions necessarily where you could still do.
We've got to worry about selling the toy.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's just like you could actually make them represent something. You could actually do that, which is, it's interesting, right? I mean, you look at Green Arrow now, and I feel like that's got his you know fiercely liberal take on him has been kind of shaved off. It seems.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know who Green Arrow is anymore.
Based on what I know, again, I haven't been following it that closely, but it seems like they kind of, you know, he originated as sort of like kind of just being like Batman with arrows, and it feels like he
has an arrow cave.
Yeah, but you
call it the Quiver, you.
For real. But you have to shake
every time you enter it.
Yeah. But they got the whole the Queen equipment. Industries yeah, angle, I think.
I get it. I just don't appreciate it.
Oh, boy. What is kind of funny is, I guess as that became more a regular thing. Oh, boy.
Ooh.
I was sort of thinking, like, you know, Spider-Man's in a lot of team-ups in general. He was
the Marvel team-up king.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, he was basically the lead of that comic.
In DC, it was Brave and the Bold with Batman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was their figurehead for teaming up with everybody.
Makes sense. Spider-Man's...
The one solitary character that likes to work alone and hates everybody and is smarter than everybody. Yeah, let's team up.
Oh, Batman. Up. Okay.
Batman.
Batman works in that because, you know, I would say virtually every other character that he runs into is going to have a superpower of some kind. And it's like, okay, we need to showcase this power. Are we going to do that with Superman, the guy who's got all the powers?
True.
No, let's do it with the guy who has no powers. He can plan.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's let someone else sort of...
Execute the big
stuff sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is that. I mean, the character... Batman's a very specific kind of character, and I think that that lends... do some interesting contrasts.
Yeah,
with
not that it doesn't, but it was, but on the surface when you describe it that way, it's like,
but if you look at it from a publisher's perspective, I mean,
I would like to see Batman be irritated by people every week.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Get out of here.
Guys are so stupid.
Shut up, I'm on a stakeout.
I'm the greatest detective ever. Just shut up.
Do I seriously have to spend an entire issue with Elongated Man?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I know he thinks he's a great detective and he's got the nose for thing and then he extends his nose.
He doesn't even sound like Jeremy Piven.
Don't you have to go mourn your wife or something?
Oh.
I said it. But Spider-Man is the...
From a publisher perspective, anyway, I'd be like, which character from each one at that point in time is arguably their most, you know... popular or most definitive, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Best, one might argue, and I'm like, yeah, Batman and Spider-Man. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and okay, so we go to, let me segue to Marvel Team-Up, which was basically Spider-Man's showcase for teaming up with other characters. Mm. That ran from 1972 to 85. They weren't all him, though. That was the funny thing when I was looking at this. I was like, oh, I'm looking at the covers of all the collections of covers, just like images on for Marvel Team-Up. And there were a bunch with Human Torch. Like, Human Torch and Thor. I'm like, really? Oh, okay. And then there was like a Hulk and Spider-Woman, not together, but like Hulk and somebody else and Spider-Woman and somebody else. I was like, oh. And I realized, then I kind of looked closer at it, and it was Spidey was the main character teamed with somebody else in all but 9 issues of that series.
Hmm.
So there were a few other ones, but it was basically all Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I was sort of peeking at your notes there, and I noticed Spider-Man and Captain Britain.
Yes.
Who were roommates.
Roommates?
They were roommates.
What?
And they fought Arcade together in Arcade's first appearance.
Yes.
What?
I don't remember them being roommates. I have that issue. That Captain Britain one, I have... Those issues, him and Marvel team up.
Okay.
I love that. And with Battling Arcade.
I've never actually read that stuff.
Really? I can let you have it upstairs. I'm pretty sure it's somewhere. I have
like
it somewhere.
Me that Brian. Well, they reused that costume maybe 10 years ago when there was a new Captain Britain.
Oh, there was a female Captain Britain.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was the
I
same,
never actually
it was
saw
the original costume.
Yeah.
But then she was a little... She was a little more Jason Todd than Dick Grayson.
Oh, really?
To put it
that's funny that you... And we know
so
exactly
she's not around anymore.
Yeah.
Just like Jason Todd is.
She was beaten to death by the Joker.
Oh. It's funny you brought up Arcade. This is totally off topic, but my wife's been watching a lot of Four Weddings. And there's this one part where they were...
Watching a lot of what?
There's a show called Four Weddings where four people go to each other's weddings. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they have to, like, judge each other's weddings. And there's one part where they're, like, going...
There's a TV show where they go to weddings and judge a wedding.
They go to each other's weddings. There's four weddings, and the brides all go to each other's weddings, and they judge it, and the winner
gets
a honeymoon.
This is why I don't watch
TV. So which of the weddings takes place at Murder World?
Well, that was what I was going to say. There's one part where, like, they were, like, trying to find where they were supposed to go, and they were, like, ended up going into a basement. I'm just like, please tell me this leads to them going to Murder World. It was just like they got led into Arcade's trap.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice.
You know what else I really liked was Marvel 2-in-1.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that as a kid?
I remember... Back issues.
The answer is yes.
I mean,
sorry about that.
Yeah,
sorry.
No, age issue coming up. All right. I get it. I'm the old guy. Whatever.
Listen,
get off my lawn.
there's got to be, like, at least one 20-year-old listening to this being like, I don't know what you're talking about at all.
Marvel 2-in-1. Okay, let me specify that. Ran from 1974 to 1983. And it actually, I didn't realize this, it continued, there was a series called Marvel Feature, which I've actually never heard of and never seen. Where I guess the last couple issues, last three or four issues of that, featured the Thing in his own, like, kind of like solo story sort of thing. And so they canceled that and then started up 2-in-1 as the Thing feature. So it was always Marvel 2-in-1, and you would have the Thing featured with another. It was like the team up, like with Spidey with somebody else, it would be the Thing with somebody else.
And how long did that run for?
74 to 83.
Always starring the Thing.
Always starting the Thing.
That's amazing.
Isn't it?
You know what I would like to see?
I loved that.
I would like to see today the same thing, but not the same thing. I wouldn't mind seeing that with Sue Richards.
Really?
Yeah. Like, she's a character who is fleshed out in the Fantastic Four book.
Yeah.
And that's about it. When you see her in any other book, it's like, okay, she's the mom, she's the lady.
Yeah.
I would love to see her, like, hey, this week she's going to be hanging out with Hawkeye. This week she's going to be hanging out with the new Miss Marvel. It's like she seems like a really grounded character, a character that you could play a lot of people off in very different ways.
It's a big established character, and you could do a lot with
it. You mentioned Miss Marvel, but I mean, in particular, if you have any sort of, like, kind of younger characters, you know what I mean? She's been there since the beginning, right? Like, the Fantastic Four was kind
of like a mentorish sort of approach,
You know, even just sort of like sharing, you know,
And we've done team up books with the Human Torch, we've done it with the Thing. I don't really care to see one done with Reed Richards because he's a
boring character.
Yeah, you can team him up with only so many characters, and they all happen to be, you know, fellow super scientists.
I was thinking about this, and I was like, I remember these from being a kid, and it was like Marvel Team Up and Marvel 2-in-1, especially. Team Up, yes. I was always a Spider-Man fan, but I never was like, in terms of Team Up, I was never a big fan of the Team Up books. Unless they had the B-list characters, I loved when they suddenly threw in, like, Jack of Hearts or Shroud or something. I was like, who are these guys? I love this. And that was the only time you ever saw these characters. And that's why I liked it. But if you had the regular A-list characters mixed in, I was like, I don't really care.
Yeah.
But then 2-in-1 always seemed to have the B-list characters. And it was the Thing. I loved the Thing. I've always been a big Thing. Yeah, just, it's such a cool character.
He's ever-loving.
Ever-loving, blue-eyed Thing.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that, and I'm like, oh, I loved that one as a kid. What has been done since then that has kind of captured that approach? And I don't know if you could, and maybe this is just like a personal perspective of being that age and having read that at that age, that I don't think you could ever kind of connect in that same way, or maybe I've just never seen one since. But there was was it Marvel Comics Presents? Came out in the 90s. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And they were, like, it was one issue, and it would have, like, three storylines are in it, like, three separate stories. So the big one they featured for the first, like, 20 issues was a Wolverine one. So Wolverine was the main story. And he would have, like, the first, like, whatever, 10 pages, and then you'd split the other ones. And then there was, like, a side, and all these other, like, little stories in between, and on the side of, like, Colossus and Cyclops and, I don't know, like, whoever. Like, just...
Right.
And I was thinking about, like, I haven't seen much of that since then. Just that idea of, like, here's an ongoing series where we kind of rotate.
Well, they've done the odd small books where it's oftentimes it's right at the end of an event or leading up to an event, and it's like here's four pages of this character, here's four pages of this character, but nothing ongoing.
Yeah.
For God knows how long, unless we're talking Countdown, which was all over the place.
Well, there was that, but that was its own event issue.
Nice way of.
It's all leading to something. Just wait. Hang on. No, really, it is. I almost Let's just reboot everything. Never mind. Forget it.
I almost want them to do, like, I almost want Marvel to do, seriously, just Marvel 2-in-1. Do it again and do it in a Marvel 70s style. Like, approach it as if it is a 70s book.
You know what?
That just has that kind of, like, weird, it's, like, not sequential. It's not part of, like, the canon. Well, not maybe not part of the canon, but not part of the ongoing storyline. You just have, like, one-off stories or two-off stories that are like, hey, we have this guy and he teams up with him. The one I have is, like, annual number 2 or something, or 9, or I have no idea. And it's, like, Thing and American Eagle. It was, like...
Well, you know what they did?
Who the fuck is that? Like, and that was the fun of it. It was, like...
They did it, a year or two ago now, and I think maybe it got to 10, 12 issues. A+X.
Oh, yeah.
Which was, they would have 2 or 3 stories, and it was an Avenger and an X-Man.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh,
right.
And you'd have goofy ones like Quentin Quire and Captain America.
Thought that... I had no idea what that book was, to be honest.
It was... Yeah, it was just...
I thought it was like, you're just going off the Avengers vs. X-Men thing.
No, it was another side series.
It was a team-up book.
It wasn't great, but there were a few good issues in there. There was, Black Widow and Phantom X. Yeah, that was a thing. They're both trying to steal a thing and one-upping each other. And it was a fun book. I think the problem with it was, I guess, maybe that it didn't have any continuity. And it was fun seeing these characters just sort of hang out. But, when it's for 8 pages, it's like, well, now what?
Yeah.
Right. Why am I still here?
That's the hard thing is when you do short books. Like they're doing Original Sins.
Mm-hmm.
Not right. Original Sin, but Original Sins. And they have
Totally different.
Totally different.
There's another
This was not even my
Who could possibly mix those up?
And I picked up the first issue and I hated it. And part of it was because you've got too much packed in and you got like all these separate stories.
Yeah.
And if you're not doing them well and succinct enough, you've only got 5 to 8 pages. If you can't do that right, then don't do it.
Right.
Like then you've just wasted a total amount of space and give that to the previous story and let them expand it. And it was, I can't remember who it was. It was like several characters and I was like, I don't care about any of these characters and I don't like any of this. This is fucking stupid. And I just totally gave up on it.
They had that one pager, though, Chip Zdarsky's one. I don't know if you guys saw that.
No.
You should look it up. Because it's pretty funny. It's just like Nick Fury, like, sitting down, like, random superheroes and being like, you know, just like kind of going over what their deep, dark secret is. And it's pretty good.
Something. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
Can I find it?
While he's looking, I feel like your 70s style Marvel 2-in-1 throwback series to come out right now, I feel like that would be a good Allred project. You know what I mean? Like a Mike Allred drawn thing. This is interesting. It's a Superman record.
This I grew up with, literally. This is me as a kid.
The actual copy?
This is my copy that I had as a kid. And it's a Superman album. Book and record. Like, it was... And I actually have a Spider-Man one and a Batman one as well. And this is why... I don't know why you said the Jor-El. Has Jor-El ever teamed up with anybody?
Mm-hmm.
And I think of...
it's immediately... Ooh.
And I got all excited and...
Yeah.
Did small claps like that. It's literally, you open this and it's a full it's a full on comic.
Oh my God.
And you play the record and it reads the comic with the whole like sound effects and everything for you.
I gotta say, this is really making cassette tapes look like shit.
Totally.
Now I get why people collect vinyl, because there's comics inside it.
Totally. And it's
every single record has a comic in it.
I really gotta get fucking Moon Colony Bloodbath, because I feel like that's going to be a really good comic.
Oh, it's totally falling apart. But
it's amazing.
It's actually 2 different stories, and this is the one I was thinking of. It's called The Best Cop in the World, by Elliot S. Megan and Carrie Bates.
What? That's amazing.
And it all takes place in the miniaturized...
Bottle City of Kandor?
Bottle City of Kandor. Exactly. Mm. And he's like...
That guy just really looks like a prick.
His name is Ronza, and he's like the cop in Kandor sort of thing. And then I believe, if I remember correctly, he is like...
A prick.
He's brought to full size out of Kandor.
Oh, okay. So he starts policing the world?
And he's like, hey, what are you doing? Like, we can do this. He has the same powers as Superman and starts doing the same thing. And, you kind of have to... He's never dealt with the outside world, so he has to kind of deal with the whole thing. But it's pretty fun. And it's super short, but it's super fun. And then there's a second one with him and Lex Luthor. I don't know why I thought of...
No, it's awesome.
Talking about, like, him, like, teaming up, but that's, like, Superman teaming up with Ronza sort of thing. That was the team-up deal, and I was like, that's awesome. I totally forgot about that. And it's literally, like, 5 feet away from me while we're recording this. And I was like, oh, my whole record collection is right there. I'm like, oh, shit, there's this thing.
I'm trying to mash up other stuff that's on there. Remember when the guy from Ninja Scroll, Jubei, teamed up with...
What?
Mulan?
Ninja Scroll.
Ninja Scroll is right there. It's on VHS.
Exactly. Power Man and Iron Fist.
Yes! I was wondering what we were going to talk about.
I love Luke Cage.
Oh, yeah.
Who doesn't? Sweet Christmas, I love Luke Cage.
Sweet Christmas, everyone.
Sweet Christmas for everybody.
Yeah.
That is like one of the most bizarre, yet it's one of those bizarre mashup sort of approaches to comics where let's take this and this, two totally different things that have nothing to do with each other at all and are actually almost complete opposites, throw them together and see how they work. Let's take a blaxploitation character and a kung fu character, which were two like just kind of like
weird subsets of the superhero genre that they had worked in from film, really.
Really, yeah. But it was brought in from film, and it was a 70s thing, and popular. It was a timely thing, and here's the thing of the day, almost, and throw them together, and it somehow worked. It was like, you have this weird buddy cop sort of film that... comic that just somehow works, and it's
like has held up for how long now? Yeah. Which is you cannot seem even to envision like even those characters without each other.
You have them like on their own, yet at the same time,
they're going to show up in each other's books.
In the Avengers thing. Although I have to say, like, in there's the Immortal Iron Fist that it was Brubaker and Fraction.
Borrowing from you.
Yeah, you still have from like a year ago.
Yeah,
from,
I know.
From episode one.
Yeah, that's true. That was like episode one.
I'm very slowly getting through it.
It's an ongoing plot line.
But then Care Andrews just started up another Iron Fist series, which is really, really good.
Okay. Really? I read the first two issues.
Really good. Okay. Really good. Although the Immortal Iron Fist, I have to say, that is like one of my that series.
Well, you
tops most series that I've ever read.
They added so much mythology to the character.
It was rounded out that character that was just begging for that sort of thing. Like it had it all there. It was like Kunlun and the whole thing and the multiple worlds and dimensions and whatever and the history.
All the other weapons.
Yeah, and it was like it was all there. What are you gonna do with it? Nothing. And until now, boom, and then they did it. And then now the Care Andrews one is actually kind of delving a little bit into that, but it was, I don't know him as a creator very well. Like I've never really followed that much by him, but I'm really super impressed. Super impressed. Like the fact that he's writing it, drawing and inking and I don't know, coloring or not. Like, I don't think coloring, but
I've seen a bit of it's really, holy shit,
that's a lot of work.
Like, he did do Spider-Man Rain.
Yeah.
Which was...
You know, I didn't mind it.
Really?
Yeah.
I have to say I didn't mind it either.
I thought it was...
I thought
it was the best Marvel Dark Knight version
ever. I gotta say, I mean, for a Spider-Man story, I'm not really too into, you know, Mary Jane died from exposure to his radioactive stuff.
Juices.
that is a concept, and also him, like, clutching her corpse.
Yeah, but when he throws on the red and blue suit again, after 2 issues of wearing the black suits, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we could have gotten a moment like that without going through the bad stuff we had to go through to get to it, but...
I love the bad stuff.
Yeah. Doesn't the night just make the day all the brighter?
Listen, Harvey.
It's always darkest before listen, the dawn.
Listen, Harvey Dent, this doesn't end well for you. I've seen that movie.
Don't ruin my moment in the sun.
No, won't do it. So.
But yeah, that Power Man and Iron Fist, they some characters. Yep.
Okay, who would you want to be in a team up?
Okay.
That hasn't been.
Ooh.
I've got a team that I have mentioned previously on the show.
Okay.
And I don't think it's going to be the first one for... to come to mind for either of you.
All right.
Aaron Stack, the Machine Man, and Howard the Duck. Marvel Zombies 5, I think.
Yeah.
It was the two of them jumping across different zombie universes. Yeah, so there was like a Danny Boyle 28 Days Later sort of one. There was a Night of the Living Dead one. And they were collecting samples from different zombies. But I would love to see the two of them in a Next Wave style.
So to continue with that. Like, as if, continue those specific character lines?
Yeah. Well, like...
They're continue going and just hopping.
You don't have to do zombies books, or it doesn't have to be zombie stuff, but...
You can do whatever,
weird sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, totally.
You know, gritty stuff, whatever. But just with those two characters, with... neither one, it was really the straight man. They had a third character. I can't remember her name, unfortunately. But she was sort of the straight man just because she had less character development.
Yeah.
She didn't have, 40 years of being a character under her belt.
Right.
But all three of them together would be a super cool book where they're doing sort of like a Sliders-esque sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where they're lost in the multiverse. That could be a lot of fun.
Totally.
Again, I would read that for sure, but there was an issue of Spider-Man Team-Up where Ben Reilly and Gambit teamed up with Howard the Duck.
That's true.
Which I'm pretty sure... takes the crown for best ever.
Now if they could team up with Ben Reilly.
Yeah.
In an alternate universe. And then Gambit's just sort of like, maybe he's washing dishes in the background or something.
That's a good role for Gambit.
So basically, you guys just want Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Well, I want Howard the Duck, but I also want, I want some of them Next Wave juices.
Yeah.
Because I like things that are fun.
It feels like Stack definitely got permanently altered by that, which is good.
Okay, here's my pitch for Howard the Duck team up.
Mm-hmm.
This is a crossover.
Okay.
This is Howard a crossover.
We're all doing Howard the Duck team up.
Yeah.
Howard the Duck and Captain Carrot and his Amazing Zoo Crew.
I feel like, has that not been done?
No.
Really?
I don't
think so. It should have
been done.
Should have been done like 30 years ago.
Yeah. Howard the Duck and Spider-Ham.
And,
that
would have been good too, yeah. All of them together?
Howard the Human and Spider-Ham.
Just have like that kind of...
Howard.
I actually really liked Captain Carrot when I was younger. That was actually a really well done book. And then you just throw the satirical nature of Howard the Duck in there and you'd be like,
yeah.
What the fuck?
What's your Howard the Duck crossover book?
Oh, man.
You already did.
It's like, God damn it, I said Ben Reilly.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
you already did that.
You already did that.
You guys, whatever. It already happened. I'm done.
Okay,
here.
non Howard the Duck, I would. And I've actually said this before.
Non Howard the Duck team ups.
I can't believe I actually have to say that. And I've said this before.
Yeah, that's great, actually.
I've stated this before. I think it was the episode you weren't here for.
Oh, boy.
Well, then I haven't heard it.
Well, you've heard the episode.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
Oh, I hope you listened.
Of course.
And it's not even any specific. It's Doctor Strange and other mystical characters.
Okay.
I think Doctor Strange shouldn't be a solo book, should be a team up crossover kind of thing.
Right.
Take as many of these mystical characters that you can, like from whoever, Jennifer Kale, Man Thing, Howard the Duck, whatever. Captain Carrot is amazing, mystical crew.
Yeah.
Whatever. But then just to build that up, I think that's one thing that's lacking. Like, DC has stepped up and done some really good mystical stuff and magical things. And that's the one thing that's been lacking in Marvel has been proper magical approach. They've done the cosmic really well. Really well. They've gone beyond Earth and the street characters, the global characters, to the cosmic characters. They have not addressed magical characters very well. Because really, they actually have quite a few, but not many A-lister characters. It's always...
Right.
It's Doctor Strange, it's Doctor Strange
and whoever he's hanging out with.
Exactly. Yeah.
Marvel tends to lead heavily on the, like, pseudoscience, though. But, yeah. You know.
But they have such a potential. And considering that they're going to be doing a Doctor Strange movie, they're going to, obviously, I hate to say it, they're going to do a book. They're going to launch a solo book for him.
No problem.
Because of the movie, which I hate. I hate the idea of, like, oh, well, we're going to move, we're going to have a book. No, just fucking, if there's a good book, if you got a story to tell, tell the story.
In fairness, the Rocket Raccoon and Star-Lord books that came out because of the movie are real great. I enjoy them.
Yeah, but you know what? They already had... There was a Guardians of the Galaxy book.
Sure there was, yeah.
Like, they were already there.
Yeah.
Really, where...
But what about more books?
Exactly.
We need more books!
Why have one when you can have a bunch?
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice...
Do we have any weird team-ups or
weird
crossovers?
Team-ups that have occurred?
Have
in
occurred.
Actual history?
Yeah.
I believe...
Not just Howard the Duck Plus. that's Marvel 2-in-1, Howard the Duck and...
Howard the Duck Plus is like the Weapon Plus program.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
I know of a couple, one of which I know that one of you will bring up, so I will not bring that up. I will
We're
bring
itching.
Up... I know you're itching to bring it up. My personal favorite is when... I'm a huge Jack Kirby fan, and I picked up the Fourth World Omnibuses. Omnibuy.
Yeah.
Is that a word? I don't know. I'm making it up now.
I think that sounds...
There's four of them.
Sure, why not?
Imagine that. Fourth World, four Omnibuses. Omnibuy. Within those books, basically what happened is like Jack Kirby leaves Marvel in a big hub. Thing. Like it was a big deal, whatever. It was a big public deal that he's leaving, and he goes to DC. And what do they hand him? They hand him Jimmy Olsen. That's his book. Like, really? I created everything at Marvel.
Love that
little
boy.
Yeah, you're gonna give me fucking Jimmy Olsen. Fuck you, DC. So what does he do? Okay, I'm gonna start with Jimmy Olsen, and I'm gonna create the entire Fourth World kind of mythos. That comes out of that.
Right.
Which is brilliant. Brilliant.
Like, imagine if they gave him a good book.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if you gave him a real character.
Well, he was drawing Superman and they had someone else changing the faces and stuff.
Yeah.
It's Kirby. Are you kidding?
You let Frank quietly draw that guy.
Oh, he's going to get mad.
I mean, no. I like the book.
I don't think he draws
very nice faces. That's all.
Hey, it's fine.
In the Jimmy Olsen book,
things are weird.
There was a team up between Superman came in at the end and kind of saved the day because everybody else was inept and stupid. But it was Jimmy Olsen, Guardian, who is basically the DC Captain America ripoff.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And Don Rickles.
Oh, yeah!
I was reading that came up in the article, but I remember reading that. I was actually going through that omnibus book, and I was like, is that Don Rickles?
Yeah.
What the fuck is going on? What am I reading? And it was actually him battling his evil twin, Goody. Goody was like...
Ron Dickles.
Yeah. Or Dickles.
Awesome.
He just called him Dickles for short.
I feel like Ron Dickles is
Goody Dickles. Yeah. Goody Dickles?
Yeah.
Oh. Them some Goody Dickles.
I'm going to start a band and call it Goody
Dickles. DC did have a thing with the comedians, though. Because there was Jerry Lewis. Jerry Lewis comic, and in that comic, he had teamed up separately with Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman.
Really?
With Jerry Lewis.
Jerry Lewis is like the Rick Jones of DC, and also real people.
And also, so he would fight, say, you know, the big villains like the Joker, Lex Luthor, and he won every single battle by doing that fucking typewriter routine. Come on.
I'm trying to build up a good hoyden. Nice lady.
Yeah. And the thingy. And the
So that's the thing.
There's also...
Holy God.
David Letterman and Saturday Night Live.
Oh, yeah.
Those, like, the original Saturday Night Live cast, mm-hmm. like Jim Belushi and them. Also, I believe it was Marvel.
Yeah. Well, David Letterman, the Avengers, went on
Yeah, Letterman. It was the Avengers. That's what it was.
The Avengers on Letterman, but, like, you know, old, like, 80s Letterman. So that's kind of great.
So that was essentially like the Avengers going on Conan.
Yeah. Yeah. However, when they do the reprint, they're going to have to redraw it with Stephen Colbert pretty soon.
Yeah. Okay, so do we want to bring
up? Well, I mean, he had a pretty good team up with Spider-Man not too long
ago. That's true. Stephen Colbert and Spider-Man. Yeah.
Yeah, they took down the Chameleon who was impersonating Barack Obama.
It's true. Yeah.
What is that sentence? What is that goddamn sentence?
It's a thing that happened.
I'm sorry, guys. I just turned inside out.
Hey, guys. Did you know that there was a comic published
where Eminem
teamed up with the Punisher? And in that comic, Eminem beat the shit out of the Punisher and legitimately just beat the shit out of him and shot him and won a fight against the Punisher. Because apparently Eminem wrote that comic.
I have to admit, I didn't read the comic.
I never read that happened.
I thought it was a Punisher impersonator.
It was a Punisher impersonator. It wasn't him.
It better have been.
It wasn't Punisher.
Speaking of people from two different crazy universes who met, did you ever see the time when Archie met the Ninja Turtles?
Oh!
What does that happen to?
I did. Because Cuddly the Calic delivered them to an alternate dimension and they...
And then...
There was some sort of a Josie and the Pussycats concert and they...
Kidnappers kidnapped Veronica and they teamed up and they fought them and then there was a Josie and the Pussycats concert.
I thought you were going for the Archie Punisher.
Well, yes, it was
crossover.
Misdirection
indeed.
I stole your wallet while you weren't looking.
I definitely own that Ninja Turtles one, though. That was something.
Oh, yeah, that was good. But, yeah, what do we have to say about that? It was good. Archie Meets the Punisher was a really good book.
I actually would like to read that.
We gotta get you the book. I've read that.
Do either of you have it?
I don't. But I know when your birthday is. Very long time ago. So.
Yeah. That I would actually like to see.
Yeah.
And the write-up that I read on it, and I saw, like, little snippets of the pages, I was like... This is fucked up. He enters Riverdale. Punisher enters Riverdale looking for Red, who is a known drug dealer, and he looks like Archie Andrews.
Yeah. Like identical. Yeah.
Identical. So he thinks it's him, and it goes from there. And then at the end of that book...
Before the end, when Archie and the Punisher start sort of hanging out, and they do team up... There's at one point, and this is
homoerotic.
This is late 80s, early 90s, and there's a part when they're in the diner, and you can see the narration boxes, and it's Archie's War Journal.
And really? It's
like, yes, Archie's War Journal.
I actually might do that.
How is that not a long running spinoff comic? Is what I want to know because I want it.
I just want to take that. Panel then and make that my profile pic.
And Miss Grundy's sort of hitting on the Punisher.
Really?
Yes. It's a good time. It's a good time.
And what did they tease though?
But they tease right at the end. You know what I'm talking about.
Take it away.
A future crossover of Jughead and Wolverine.
Yeah.
Schnickety schnickety.
It still has not happened.
Hasn't happened.
We were actually talking about it in the car on the way over. Oh, were like, you? And it almost feels like, you know what? It didn't happen for 20 years, but it feels like the time is now. It feels like if they did that, like, tomorrow would be like, yeah, that sounds about right.
I think I have to add that to my drawing list.
Yeah.
Can I get the Scotty Young variant cover of that?
Again, the idea is that you are, you know, it's like, I'm going to draw that. You're going to blow up, man, for sure, because all this stuff is just what we need right now.
Just three claws through a burger, or yeah. Three burgers, or like three corn dogs.
Oh man!
Because you know there have been some pretty crazy Jughead books. Like his solo book was.
He's wearing the crown.
Yep. Yeah. Well, like the one in the earlier mid 90s where he had like a mohawk and a fade. Jughead got weird. Yeah, Jughead got weird. They were
Jughead. He went punk.
He went. Jughead solo title got a little. Yeah, definitely did.
He went to a psychoanalyst.
Jughead on heroin.
Who tried to figure out what the S on his shirt stood for? It was the whole thing.
You can't deconstruct me.
It was a continuing thing where like Archie kept referencing the fact that Archie was the only one who knew, but you never said what it meant. And as a child, that legitimately drove me insane. It was like, just say what it means. Who cares? It's an S on his shirt, but it mattered.
Stands for sex with a boy, that's Archie. But that was a lot of stuff to fill out on a shirt.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Ass.
Yeah,
so
pay extra for that.
Oh, boy. Hey guys, did you know that in an issue of Sonic the Hedgehog, also published by Archie, Spawn showed up?
What?
What? Spawn.
What?
Was in an issue of Sonic the Hedgehog, what? Published by Archie.
So in theory, Spawn shares the same universe with Mega Man.
Yeah, potentially.
Cool.
I'm alright with that.
I'm not at all.
I'm not okay with that.
I've got some fan fiction to update.
Yeah. That actually happened.
Okay, how about this? X-Men and Star Trek.
And a lot of it.
Next Generation or Original?
Oh, yeah.
Original because there's two Dr. McCoys.
That's true. That's pretty good.
Next Generation, because Colossus punches Data.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And Data catches his fist.
Oh, also, Picard gets a little bit of a crush on Storm, which is kind of funny when you think of a movie's cast.
Why?
Duh.
And they go to the Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, hey, here's Picard and Nightcrawler. Hanging out together. And Picard's like, oh, I guess you guys have a little more experience fighting those guys. Nightcrawler's like, yeah, I've been doing it for a while. I don't know why I'm in this X-Men book. I'm on Excalibur at the time when this thing came out. But yeah.
Bamf, bamf, bamf.
Yeah.
Bamfity bamf.
And then Wesley shows up and then he goes away.
Yeah. It is kind of strange how much X-Men, Star Trek crossovers there were.
There were. When I started looking at it, I was like, holy shit, there's been several.
Though, mind you, was Peter David one of the main X-Men writers during that period of time? Because I think that might explain a lot.
You know what I've been doing? And I've been waiting for people to notice, and no one has noticed yet. I've been doing the Riker set.
Oh, have you?
Like the step over the chair set.
Oh, it's man.
It's really easy to do. Nobody's called me on it yet.
Okay, here's an ongoing joke.
I wanted
joke.
To take that on, but I feel like you beat me to it at this point.
Here's
like
an ongoing
on
joke.
Couch, but, you know.
Yeah.
I just roll over.
An ongoing joke with my brother and I, with specifically Riker, is when, if you watch in every episode, especially the later the episodes go, it becomes more prominent. When he goes to leave, he doesn't just, like, I'm going to walk. He falls. His head leads, and he goes... And then he just, like, falls into it, and then just, like, his feet catch up to him. And it was like, what the fuck? Is he drunk? Is he just falling over? And then it became this ongoing thing, and it was, like, this joke between my brother and I. And then I was, every time I watched him, I was like, holy, what is he doing? Where is he running to?
Frank's on the train.
He's like,
are we there yet? I mean...
So team-ups.
Team-ups. So, what happens when one publisher has a bunch of licensed properties and they decide, hey, what the fuck, right?
Still waiting for my Darkwing Duck.
Are we talking IDW?
Crossover. Oh, yes, we're talking IDW.
Fuck.
There have been several, like, mega crossovers where you have, like, G.I. Joe, Transformers, like, Ghostbusters, Ninja Turtles,
X-Files.
I think we talked a little bit about this before.
We might have.
Where there was that big one, just, like, starting in
the
like,
X-Files
February.
Conspiracy one. Yeah. I talked about the Ninja Turtles book where the turtles meet the lone gunman and they fight those vampires, including the kid from the Big Green.
That was the older one, though, wasn't it?
This was last summer's, I think.
Yeah. There was one this winter. January, February it started. And I was like, oh, this would be might be interesting. And I picked up the first episode, and I think it was an X-Files one. I can't remember what started it off.
Right.
And it was so horribly drawn. Like, not just, like, oh, you know what, that's quirky. That was like, you know what, you don't know how to fucking draw.
Yikes.
And I don't say that very often. I'm not that critical on... I'm critical on artists, but I'm not that critical on artists that where it's like, you know what, everybody's got their own nuance and their own approach, whatever. And it's sometimes you got to take a little bit of time to kind of get the feel of them or get their vibe and just kind of get rolling with it. But it was like, you know what, no. You need to go back to school.
Nobody likes Jim Lawson right away.
I do.
Right away?
Well, I did.
Took years and years of indoctrination.
Yeah.
But this was brutal. This was
New York, come on. That was good.
Yeah, well,
This was fucking brutal.
You got bad.
Horrible.
Yeah. But they have one now, which is funny. They have the Ghostbusters comic is ending.
Really?
But the same team is doing, like, Ghostbusters, Ninja Turtles, crossover, miniseries.
That's pretty much the best thing.
Yeah. It feels like, you know, it feels like, thanks for making a comic for me specifically.
Yeah, if you could throw in a couple Power Rangers, like, you don't have to throw all of them in.
No.
If you could get Zach in there.
Billy.
Billy, I'll think.
Kimberly.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, Kimberly. Yeah. Trini. I like Trini.
I like Trini, too.
Yeah.
I got nothing else.
Let's represent the one who's dead. It's sad, but it's true.
Yeah, it's not untrue. It's not untrue.
It's not untrue.
Oh, boy. Anyway, yeah, IDW is all over that multi-franchise crossover business.
You know, IDW's crossovers in previous years, I'm not following this current one, mm-hmm. but what it seems to be a lot of the time, there's a big threat, and here's how all of these other books are dealing with it. And they don't really cross over at any point.
Well, there was Infestation.
Yeah.
And there was Infestation 2. Sure. I read whatever one had the Ninja Turtle two-parter there by...
Where they fought, like, an elder god sort of thing?
Like, the Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Oh, is it the Cthulhu?
Yeah.
Cthulhu,
yeah.
Oh! Speaking of which, I'm totally segueing. As soon as you said that, jumping...
You're out, yeah.
Yep.
And this is kind of... It's not even...
And hey, it's Cthulhu month.
It is? Is it?
August is Cthulhu month.
Is it?
Apparently.
Is,
We did it, guys.
Afterlife with Archie.
Yeah.
Did you read the newest one?
Yep. With
Sabrina?
Oh yeah. With Sabrina.
The whole Cthulhu thing?
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit, I thought you were just hinting at that. And then that's full on Cthulhu.
That was a pretty harsh ending. Like, oh, fuck.
I love that public domain.
Good lord.
Yeah.
That was like, yeah. I can't explain to you how excited I was at the end of that. I was like, you actually did a full on Lovecraft crossover with Archie and did it well and did it seriously and did it intelligently.
Yeah, it was
really well written.
It was already
really.
The Archie zombie book. It was already that. And
I know.
It was just like, well, okay, interesting.
Think of that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Would you ever cross Archie Andrews, that universe, with H.P. Lovecraft?
Everything from H.P. Lovecraft to The Punisher.
Yeah. It's like
Archie's done it all. From the street level to the most cosmic.
What the fuck? Like that's but done it well, not like it was mind-blowingly bizarre.
I had something just real quick to bring up.
Yep.
There's a lot of licensing nowadays.
Yep.
Like, you know, Disney owns Marvel, they own Star Wars. That's the example where you're eventually going to see some goofy crossover thing, not unlike the X-Men Star Trek stuff, or not unlike the standard Marvel stuff meets Godzilla or meets Transformers, which happened back in the day.
Yeah.
Is there a way to do licensed crossovers like that well? Like, you look at Boom Studios, who have stuff like Garfield and Peanuts and Bravest Warriors and Adventure Time, and trying to cross over stuff like that, when it's such a legal mess.
Yeah.
When bringing that from one medium to another. Is it possible to do a good book that...
Like a legal crossover well?
Yeah. Well, like, you look at Archie Meets Punisher. Good book, but, you know, how many others can we point to that are good books? I mean, you look at Marvel versus DC. Poison.
For the most part,
they did three spinoffs, and they were all the worst.
So I shouldn't have...
You know what? If you... Oh, okay, no. Here we go. X-Men Teen Titans. Did you ever read that?
You know what? I haven't, but I do have one to agree with you with, and it's Batman Spider-Man.
I don't know that
one. Which one was that one?
I think it was the second one.
I had the one that was drawn by Mark Bagley.
I don't think it was the Bagley one.
Yeah, I wouldn't say that was good.
The only part that really springs to mind, and it was a part where like I really enjoyed it, was Batman is on a stakeout. And Spider-Man comes up behind him. He's like, "Hey, I'm here too." It's like, "Yeah, go away. Like, I get that you're here. Go away. I'm working. Yeah. But you know, I'm here to help. I'm good at this stuff too." Like, no, you're Spider-Man. Go away. I like the ones that don't acknowledge the fact that it's separate universes, where they're just like the Starman Hellboy Batman book, where it's like, "Oh, hey, I heard of you."
They had a few Batman Punisher ones.
Yeah.
Too.
I have to say those weren't that.
There was one, I think John Romita Jr. drew one of them,
yeah.
And it was...
Jigsaw and the Joker, I think?
Yeah, and it was, I mean, I remember reading it, and I remember being like, that's really neat when I was younger, but I wouldn't, you know,
yeah.
I wouldn't exactly be surprised if it turned out it didn't hold up too well.
But it's the sort of thing where it, you know, it's great at the time, but you can't market it that much because it's two competing companies.
Yeah.
So they're not going to put their
full weight into it. The X-Men Teen Titans one was one of the few that I've ever read of crossover ones. There's actually a lot of them. When you actually look at the history, there are a ton of them. Even when I was a kid, there are several that have been... And they're really hard to find, as in reprints. There's the... like, Alex Ross has reproduced the cover to the famous Superman versus
Spider-Man thing.
Yeah. Which I've never actually read. I've never seen a copy of it. Have you read it?
Yeah, it's not great. It's okay, but you know, it happened.
There's a couple of them. There's like involve Hulk and somebody else and whatever. But Teen Titans and the X-Men one, stellar. I'm pretty sure it's Walt Simonson, but don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure...
Was that like a one-issue thing?
It was a one-issue deal, like, straight off. It was Phoenix in and Murder Darkseid. Phoenix, Darkseid, really good.
That sounds...
Like, and it was one of those stellar, like, it was a thicker issue, like, it was a giant-sized kind of deal. Okay. And it came out at the same time as, do you remember Spider-Man Wolverine?
Yeah. Yeah. The wait, which one?
The one where with like Ned Leeds Hobgoblin-y. Like
not the one in Canada.
No. Okay. Apparently, there's been several since that have totally fucked it up. Between that and the Teen Titans and X-Men one, those two came out at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think actually I have both of them, but the Teen Titans X-Men one has actually fallen apart because the staples have let go because I've been opening it so much.
You know what one of my favorite Spider-Man team-ups was?
What?
It was when he teamed up with a little guy you might know of as Spider-Man.
Ooh.
Peter Parker meets Miles Morales in Spider-Man.
Really?
Spider-Man.
Oh, like Ultimate meets...
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 and 4 weren't as great. It still had their moments, but it was super cool just seeing Peter and Miles hang out. And they're doing that in the cartoon. And... Donald Glover, the inspiration behind Miles Morales, is voicing Miles Morales.
It's incredible. I'm very excited.
Okay, going off that.
Not even Drake Bell could ruin this for me.
No. That was my main comment. It's like, if only Josh Keaton could play Spider-Man in this one episode, it would be 100% perfect.
He might dub it.
Has anybody read the new issue of All New X-Men?
No.
No? Oh, is it out already? With
Nemo?
Miles?
Nemo?
With Miles?
Is Oh, no, shit.
Yeah. Where
I didn't know that was out already.
They meet, like, they're investigating a new mutant, and mm-hmm. she, whatever her powers are, blah, 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 teleport, dimensional, whatever, all of a sudden, I can't remember what, one of the characters, I'm totally blanking, again, my memory, jumps to another, like, another spot, and she's like, what's going on? And
turns why around, is there a triskelion?
And then
what's
all
a triskelion?
All of a sudden, it's Miles Morales is as like Spider-Man is yeah. in front of her, going, "You look really familiar. Do I know you?" Kind of thing.
Yeah. Is it Kate Bishop? Is she on the team now?
Oh boy,
because that would be fun.
It'd be interesting.
I want to say it's Kitty, but I don't think it is.
Kitty would make sense because he does know who Kitty is. He is on a team with her.
Is he?
Okay. Yeah.
The new Ultimates.
Yeah.
There you go.
Who are these getting canceled today, though?
You know, I haven't really kept up with it.
You know, I've been enjoying it.
Ultimate Universe, I'm like, okay, everything went crazy.
I'm all about Miles Morales, though.
Yes.
That book is, like, always rock solid, like, super good.
Alright, so, if we had one team up that was like, here's the best team up, and here's a one-sentence reason why, what would it be? Starting with... Merc.
You bastard.
We can pause it. I got nothing either. I would have started with me.
Fuck. Hold on. Oh, you know what? One of my favorites is, it was more going back to when I was a kid, mm-hmm. was in 1975 started a series called Super Villain Team Up. Which, originally, it was Namor had his own series.
Right.
And then that series ended, and they continued it as Supervillain Team-Up. So, the story literally hadn't finished. They continued the storyline as Supervillain Team-Up. And for more often than not, it was Submariner and Doctor Doom.
Chilling.
Like, yeah.
They were the villains.
Like villains.
Villains chilling like a villain.
Darn it.
But... they were the main characters, and they were the actual protagonists, kind of-ish, in those series.
Namor, you said you would do your own dishes.
So says Doom.
My mask.
You have so many Doombots, they could do it. They're not programmed for dishes. Only hating Richards.
You're good Richards. With water. You're good with water.
I'm not soap. It's not soluble. I don't know why that's my Namor voice.
Either way, we wrote a pretty good comic just now.
But
dun, dun, dun.
I had several of those, and often they were like these, like supervillain team up, giant size, like the ones they did in the '70s. They were huge books. They weren't like 22 pages. They were like 40 pages. Mm. And I was like, these are awesome. Like, you always pick them up in like the dump bin sort of thing,
yeah.
like the cheap pile sort of thing. And then I was looking that up because I was thinking like, well, I don't know that much about it. I only like a handful of them. And it was mostly Namor and Doom, but it turns out there was Red Skull, Magneto and, Magneto.
Sorry, can you send a sentence over? It's fucking Magneto.
Is I'm going to call him that from now on.
Dang old Magneto.
You done twisted. Hey, fucking Magneto.
He done twisted up my tractor.
He gets Magneto and Eater every day.
I tried to shoot a bullet at him. He turned around, pointed a gun at my head.
I said, God damn, that's Magneto.
the best / worst.
The one that I have has the hate monger in it. Do you know that character?
Oh, so Hitler.
Hitler.
Yeah.
Literally, it's Hitler. Was like, it's one of the few that I have, and I was like, that's crazy. At the end of that run of supervillain team up, that was like the last three issues or so. There was an irregular publishing frequency for the last three issues. But apparently it was due to like a legal maneuver by Marvel to prevent DC from trademarking the word supervillain.
What?
I know.
That's
Isn't that weird?
That's pretty goofy.
You shouldn't be able to trademark superhero supervillain though, but
yeah.
But
apparently it was done to a certain point, so
thank goodness that Disney and Warner Brothers own the rights to the word superhero.
That's great.
Phew, we did it, guys.
Well, but whether that still continues to this day, as soon as I saw that, I thought, fuck, have I ever seen DC use the word supervillain? Of course.
Yeah.
So they must...
Yeah.
That must be done by now.
Yeah, well, or they have an agreement to...
Yeah.
We can both do this, but fuck everyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you?
So what is your favorite team-up or crossover?
Are we talking, like, Dreamy Dream?
Whatever you want.
Pete Wisdom and Juggernaut.
What?
Because I like Juggernaut. I like him quite a bit.
Juggernaut and Pete Wisdom? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
I have no idea who Pete Wisdom is.
Pete Wisdom is... He was a character introduced in Excalibur, issue 96. Created by Warren Ellis. He was sort of his author, avatar, mouthpiece sort of character. Former secret agent... he's pretty much like British Wolverine.
Okay.
He has crazy hot knives coming out of his finger, and I'm sure hot knives is a drug reference.
And wasn't he like, didn't he like date Kitty Pryde?
Yeah, he I'm pretty sure he deflowered Kitty Pryde.
Considering that Warren Ellis' author avatar, that's
I'll real give
weird.
You my hot knives, Kitty Pryde. Snickety, snickety.
Take that, Joss Whedon.
Oh.
But...
What? Here's your metaphorical space bullet.
Like, they're basically thugs who are often tied up in mystic sort of affairs. So, to see them go up against someone like the Hood, I think it'd be super cool to just see them go like, alright, well what if we punch this thing really hard? Well, wait, no, punching might not work. What about kicking? Oh, well, you know what? We haven't tried kicking.
So you throw the Juggernaut in there.
Yeah, you throw this big goon and kind of a little goon. It's like the big dog and the little dog from the old Warner Brothers cartoons. Where it's like, yeah, get him.
Sure.
And
he
smacks him. Yeah, shut up. And they do have a history together because they were on a team together in the early 2000s.
Really?
It was another goofy Excalibur team. The one that had Dazzler and Nightcrawler's daughter from another dimension. Weird book. Right. So that's mine.
Right.
Oh, Godzilla versus Charles Barkley. Already happened. Just go read that.
Well, who are we?
All right. I am Merc. You can find me at MercAsylum.ca, Merc on Facebook nowadays as well.
I'm Kyle. Check out SkiNinjas.com. Look me up. I'm the Kyle Lees on Twitter. Screw that other Kyle Lees. Yeah, I don't care if you hear me at this point, man. You posted like twice in the past year. It's kind of bullshit.
Give it up. Give up the name.
Punk.
I'm Brian Kotick. You can find my comics at welcometohereafter.com, and you can check me out at BRYKOTYK on the internet. Just look up that name. It's a thing. It's my name.
Don't worry about it. You know what I forgot to play?
What's that?
What?
Considering this was like a whole team-up episode, was this.
Teamwork! Teamwork!
Grifter, pull that thing tight.
Yeah.
More if it gets caught. That's like a cape on your face.
Yeah.